Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, I got a really big show for you today. I've got Kevin Robofsky, KMR Golf Academy from Kaneohe, Hawaii, on the show. Bob Geddes, Golf Historical Society, Marketing and Business Development. Yes, he's on the show. Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. Diana DeLucia, my friend, CEO and editor and photographer, the Golf Kitchen Magazine, and you've got to get it. It is absolutely spectacular. Some of the recipes in here, you know, I'm a vegetarian and I want to eat them. Yeah, the photographs are awesome. And Anne Liguori, award-winning sports journalist, nationally renowned sports radio and TV host, and author of Life on the Green, Legends and Wisdom from Legends of Golf. All of them with us today. Just want to batten down the hatches a little bit because we're going to have windward and mountains area, mostly cloudy, scattered to numerous showers. On the leeward side, it's going to be a little cloudy as well, isolated showers during the day, and then scattered showers at night. High about 77 to 82, low 67 to 73. And here's the batten down the hatches. Breezy to locally windy trade winds 15 to 30. And the strongest winds will be Sunday and Tuesday. On Hawaii Island, windward, mostly cloudy with scattered to numerous showers. On the leeward side, partly cloudy nights and mornings, mostly cloudy with scattered showers each afternoon. And we'll have areas of haze. And, of course, she's probably going to erupt again shortly. A high 79 to 84, the low 65 to 71. Breezy, 15 to 30. Strongest wind Sunday and Tuesday. So if you're going to be playing in these strong winds, today at Makalei, there's an 852, a 912, a 1020. And the parents and kids, they're on the greens having a great time. They know exactly what to do because they're being taught. Volcano Golf Club, there's an 830, a 924, a 1048, and it's 55 degrees. Light winds to 9 miles an hour right now. All right, on Kauai, we have a Poipu, a 1030 and a 1050. Kauai junior golfers are on the course and they are walking. Take note. Kauai Lagoons, 9 o'clock. The Legal Eagles are out on the golf course. May all of you hit the sweet spot every time. All right, now on Oahu, Pearl Country Club, 848, 948, 1016. Hawaii Kai, 1010, 1130. Turtle Bay, 836, 920, and at 1006, and the Crab Kings are on the golf course. May you all hit the sweet spot every time, Crabbies. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, a 9 o'clock, a 1008, and 1136. Women mean business. They're on the golf course. Watch out. Eva Beach Golf Course has a 918 and a 1110. Bayview, 856, 922, 1153. City folk. They're in nature. They're on the golf course. And on Maui, on the gold course at Wailea, there's an 1150, a 150. Emerald course has an 830, an 1130, and a 140. Blue course has an 840, and a 940, and an 1150. And the Lost Boys, they're playing again. They're still lost. Maui Nui, 11:12 at 12 o'clock. Hey, the car guys are on the golf course today. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Okay, we're coming back. Anne Liguori, award-winning sports journalist, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brousseau, master teaching professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever.
Ann Liguori, nationally renowned sports, radio, and TV talk show host, author, interviewer, reporter, speaker, business owner, and philanthropist. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ann.
Danielle, it is always a pleasure.
Good to hear your voice. It's been so long. Gosh, it's great. So where are you calling in from?
So I am at the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill here in Orlando, Florida.
Oh.
It's a special week, and I love this tournament, signature event, as you know, and it's just great. It's great to be here. I live down here half the year, Danielle, so it's nice to be kind of in your own backyard for a PGA Tour event.
Oh, yeah. Feels like home, right? I mean, you're there. And so what's the feel like? Who's in the lead? What's going on?
Well, none other than Irishman Shane Lowry. Not Rory McIlroy, but Shane Lowry. He leads by two over Wyndham Clark. And they get started at 1:50 Eastern time, so that's about an hour and 50 minutes. Right now I'm watching Scottie Scheffler on the driving range. Scottie is tied for 12th, shot a one under yesterday, so he's has some ground to make up. And Rory was out there a little bit ago. So, yeah, you know, we've had a mix of crazy weather here. On Thursday, it was extremely windy and chilly. And, you know, people think Orlando, land of sun and fun, but we've had a really interesting mix of weather here. It hasn't been the warmest month, and so the wind wreaked havoc on a lot of scores on Thursday. But Shane Lowry, he's hung in there. You know, he's used to playing in all kinds of weather conditions in Ireland, and he shot a 69 on Thursday, a 67 yesterday. Five birdies, one bogey.
Wow.
And, you know, he knows how to play in all kinds of conditions. The Open champion a couple years back at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. And, hey, he has the game to win here. So he did well last year here, Danielle. He was leading in three of the previous rounds here last year. He did not win it last year. Scottie did. But before that here, he didn't do well. He'd missed like four of the last five cuts. So let's see if he can play great on the weekend and perhaps put another win up there for the Irishman.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to see that because he's got great personality. On Scotty, didn't he have some challenges recently with his game? What were those?
Well, you know, he missed the early start of the season with, you know, he cut his hand in like this freak accident on Christmas Day. And he had to have hand surgery and he had stitches. And he's back from that. You know, it would have scared me kind of mentally to think, oh, my God, you know, you make a living with your hands.
Yeah.
You know, the number one player in the world and just an incredible season last year. But, you know, I just think he's just, you know, because he missed the first couple of tournaments, I just think he's now just kind of getting back into it. And look, you can never count Scottie Scheffler out.
No.
He's tied for 12th. He's one under. He's seven shots behind Shane Lowry. And anything can happen on this golf course. It's a very, very difficult golf course, Danielle. A lot of the players say it's one of the most difficult courses they play. And the rough is insane. You cannot get the ball out of the rough. You've got to keep it in the fairway. And so, you know, look, anybody in the top 15, anything can happen.
Sure.
This weekend with the difficulty of the greens here. They're so fast, and with the rough, Rory McIlroy is tied for fifth, and he's a couple of shots behind Shane Lowry. So look, it's still anybody's ball game.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder if Scottie is favoring that hand a little bit. If he, you know, when you've got an injury, even though it's healed, there's a part of you that still favors it. It's like, I've got to be, you know, subconsciously, it would seem to me that you'd still be a little hesitant about putting everything into it. And that'll take a while, I think, if he's even feeling that. I mean, this is a complete supposition on my part. But if you would, after a while, after a couple of tournaments, that would go away.
Absolutely. You have to think deep down inside mentally, he's you know, how do you rebound from a freak accident like that?
Yeah.
It's tough. And it's, you know, you'll hear him say he's fine and everything's perfect and the hand 100%. But yeah, I mean, deep down inside, you have to wonder if mentally he's thinking, gosh, you know, this is such a freak accident. I wasn't able to start full strength like I have in the last couple years. And, but, you know, he's so strong and he does just such a great job at looking like nothing affects him.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think he's okay.
Yeah.
I just think, the weekend is upon us, so we'll see how he does today. And, of course, the Players' Championship is next week. And then the Masters in a few weeks. So
yeah.
This is the time now where these guys are getting in the prime of the schedule and ready to go out there and really make some noise.
Yeah, that's awesome. And Shane kind of dropped off the planet, our golf planet. We didn't hear from him. Was there something going on in his game?
Shane Lowry?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Shane, you know, he's been close. He and Rory were kind of battling it out at the AT&T Pebble Beach a couple
uh-huh.
of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And Rory ended up winning that. So remember, they both had holes in one
yeah.
during that tournament on different courses. And that was, and it's fun to see these two play together. They played together on Thursday and Friday. They're just really good friends. They feel very comfortable playing together. But Shane has had, you know, the game. And he's come so close. I mean, last week at the Cognizant, he was up toward the top of the leaderboard as well. And then you had the Joe Highsmith, who barely made the cut at the Cognizant, pulling that out. When you look at the winners from the tour this year, I have to say it's been an interesting bag of guys winning these tournaments.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you had Matsuyama winning the Century in your neck of the woods,
yeah.
Nick Taylor, the Sony Open. Then you had Sepp Straka, the Amex, and Harris English, the Farmers. It wasn't until AT&T were a big name, like Rory, gets to the top and wins that one. Then you have Thomas Detry at the Phoenix Open and Ludwig Oberg.
Oh, we love
this
him.
Guy, I've been picking this guy to win the Masters. Well, last year was his debut. But he wins his Genesis Invitational, which was played at Torrey Pines, as you know. And, look, this guy is so talented. He's such an exciting, young player to watch. And I just think, you know, I'll pick him for the Masters this year like I did last year. But aside from Rory and maybe Ludwig, these other guys aren't, you know, the most recognizable names on the PGA Tour. You have Brian Campbell winning the Mexican Open. You have Joe Highsmith winning the Cognizant. He didn't even make the cut this week, unfortunately. But it's been an interesting start to the PGA Tour, that's for sure.
Yeah, and television ratings are climbing, which, thank goodness. You know, I was worried about, you know, golf is dropping off the planet when it comes to interest. Seems to be coming back.
Yeah, good point. I think that had a lot to do with perhaps Rory McIlroy winning at the AT&T Pebble Beach. And if you can't get into that tournament, something's wrong. I mean, that's such a compelling golf event. And, of course, this year it was a signature event. And, you know, these guys competing for $20 million in prize money. So I think now, yeah, people are, you know, they want to see the stars win. They want to see the stars
yeah.
play each other.
Yeah.
And they want to see, you know, the stars win.
Yeah.
And Rory McIlroy is definitely a star. And so I think kind of ratings kind of started turning around from that point on. And, you know, hey, the PGA Tour Commissioner, Jay Monahan, was here this week. And he did talk to some of the reporters. And everybody really wants to know, well, what's happening? Is there going to be reunification of golf? Is there going to be a deal between the PGA Tour and the Saudis? And, you know, it's right now, nobody knows. But he did make an appearance here, and he did say that over the last 3 months, the PGA Tour has signed 14 deals worth $400 million. So the PGA Tour is doing pretty well.
Yeah.
They're bringing in a lot of sponsor commitments. I read where they have $4 billion worth of sponsor commitments through 2035. So it looks like TV ratings have turned around for the better, and they're raising a lot of cash. And who knows? Do they really need a deal with the Saudis? I don't think so. That will be an interesting question to see if he addresses that issue next week during his annual State of the Game address at the Players' Championship. But it doesn't look like those negotiations, Danielle, are going anywhere.
A 3 hours inside the Oval Office and not to come out with something, and the lack, as you mentioned, the lack of movement between these, people talking, and the idea that they need to merge, that doesn't make any sense to me. Why would we want them?
It really doesn't. No. I don't think, it might have at one time, but now the PGA Tour, these players are making so much money. The PGA Tour has certainly, since LIV has come around, have taken care of their players. And the SSG, with their investment of $1.5 billion, the players are really benefiting, the top players. So they're keeping the PGA Tour top players happy. They don't certainly want them to jump to LIV. And they did get Donald Trump involved. Donald is close to the Saudis and maybe wants to look like he's going to bring these two sides together. But after the second meeting, there really hasn't been any movement. In fact, Jay Monahan said that, the second meeting, he's always very positive. He's always saying progress is made. But it doesn't seem like they've really – I think there's so many issues, Danielle, that it – do the LIV players really want to play PGA Tour events? They're committed to LIV, and they really want to just play the majors, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe
I agree.
They want to play some of the PGA Tour events, but, how do you let them in? And they have a full commitment with LIV, so will they even have time to play additional PGA Tour events once you factor in the majors that they want to play in? And, there's just the Department of Justice certainly wants to talk to the Saudis and they want them to testify. But last I read up on that, the Saudis don't want to do that. They do not want to kind of open up about the inner workings of what's happening there.
Yeah.
And, will the Department of Justice be okay with that? Probably not. Maybe that's where President Trump comes in. So, look, there's so many unanswered questions. The other big question is, what's the return of investment if the Saudis pour all that money into the PGA Tour? And wouldn't they want control? The PGA Tour would never want to lose control. So I just think there's too many differences for any deal to be worked out. That's my own personal opinion.
Yeah, and someone on the show last month suggested, why not have the PGA Tour do what it does, stay in the United States, and LIV Golf can play on the rest of the planet. And then how would you merge when the LIV Golf has such a different format than the PGA Tour has? And the guys that play LIV have gotten used to this very quick, fast, staggered starts and all this stuff. That it's a completely different game when you look at the two of them. Yeah.
It's a whole different entertainment element with the music blasting.
Yeah.
And the format, team format, individual format. The big question is a merger really necessary? Are we missing out because John Rahm and Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau aren't playing on the PGA Tour? Sure, I'd love to see them play on the PGA Tour, but it is what it is right now.
Yep.
And, we'll have to wait for the major championships to see all these players play with and against each other. So I just think at this point it may be too late for any kind of reunification. There's just too many issues involved, and I just don't think, for an entity that has that kind of money like the Saudis have, they're going to want a lot if they invest all those billions into the PGA Tour. And I don't think they really can come up with a solution, personally.
I don't think the Saudis really care if there is one.
Well, I think at this point that might be true, Danielle, because they're fully committed to LIV.
Yeah.
Who knows? They're not I don't think they're seeing any kind of monetary return on their investment, but I don't think that, was the original intent anyway. They want to promote the game globally and have a huge piece in the game globally, and now they do. So, Yeah, it's one big giant question mark, but I think the two separate entities are fine just the way they are.
Yeah.
As long as these guys can all play together in the majors, which I think, you know, it's happening. So.
Yeah, and it makes the majors even more interesting. So it's a win-win in that on that level. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, your book, Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from the Legends of Golf. I was thinking of Tiger. Does Tiger Woods ever get into these conversations?
With the book?
With Liv.
With Liv? Yeah. In fact, he is one of the players on the PGA Tour Policy Board. So
yeah.
He is very involved in the negotiations. And he actually met with President Trump in one of the two meetings at the White House. But again, he's just like Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour commissioner, when it comes to answering questions. He says basically the generic, yes, we're making progress. Yes, we would very much like to see reunification. But, you know, that's all we get from both Tiger and the commissioner. They really, I just think, you know, they may be trying to get the two sides together, but I think the more they try, the more issues that pop up where it's just not happening.
Yeah.
So, yes, he's very involved. In fact, he is so involved in these negotiations in the past that he said he's so in between that and then TGL, you know, that league that they were doing in January, February, March. He said he hasn't really been playing that much, and not that he can physically play that much, but I just think, and then he was in the Orlando area, ironically, last week to watch his daughter, Samantha, play soccer. And his daughter's soccer team won the state championship.
Wonderful.
So he's been busy.
and his mom passing. All of these things.
True.
All these things coming together. He's got family on his mind more than anything, I'm sure. Your book, though, you have so many fascinating Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from the Legends of Golf, with a foreword by Jim Nance. It's beautiful what he says about your abilities and the way you are with people when you talk with them. While my great friend Anne Liguori could certainly master any facet of the business, and she has, there is no clearer example of her massive abilities than to take in one of her countless high-level interviews. Her reservoir of superstar guests through the years would make Jimmy Kimmel envious. That is such a cool, that is, what an opening. You're about to embark on a journey that'll inform and enlighten you. He's talking about reading your book and all the different people that you talked with about Dottie Pepper, Tom Watson, Patrick Harrington, and all the issues that come up. Ben Crenshaw, you know, he's so wonderful. He opens my show every Saturday. What a man. I really want to meet him. I in passing, we did once, but such a great person. Such a great person.
Well, you know, all the people in the book and then Jim Nance, who wrote the foreword, you know, I mean, they don't get better than these personalities. I mean, golf personalities, that's one of the things I just love about this sport, because years ago I covered a variety of sports, every sport from baseball to football to basketball, but about 30 years ago, I started focusing on golf as one of the original hosts of a show on the Golf Channel and doing updates for WFAN in New York, you know, for the past, 30, 35 years. Golfers are just so gracious. These legends, they all not only said yes, what you'd love to be in your book, and they all thanked me for including them in the book, which is just, I mean, these are 12 legends. They're superstars. They're major champions, they're Hall of Famers, you know, six men, six women I chose. And I wanted, you know, role models who could look back on their success stories and talk about what they bring to their day-to-day life that they learned from their iconic golf careers. And they all just spoke so beautifully. And I had so much time interviewing each person, from Jack Nicklaus talking about putting family first and the importance of integrity and sportsmanship, to Patrick Harrington talking about the fact that it's normal to be fearful on the golf course and in life. He said, embrace that fear. don't think it's weird or unique. It's very normal. So just embrace fear, not just to be nervous, mm-hmm. but to be fearful is very normal. Mm-hmm. So he normalizes that for all of us and gives us this incredible window into his world where, wow, how could a three-time major champion admit that he is fearful every time he tees it up? And then you start thinking about it, and, well, you know what? The expectation on him and on all these major champions is so intense that, yeah, now I can understand why he's not only nervous, but he's fearful. He has to go out there and perform to a certain level day in and day out, and that is so much pressure. So, I mean, the fact that he just opened up about that to me and spoke so eloquently about that and normalizes that so that anybody who reads the book, Danielle, can relate to what they all have to say because it all applies to us. You know, Gary Player, he suggests for all of us to pursue our own passions no matter how old we are. It's never too late to pursue your passion. And, of course, Gary Player, 88 years young, is yes. such a great example yes. of somebody who embodies that passion and works out every day and is a physical fitness guru and just such an inspiration. So it was just fascinating to get inside the heads of these 12 legends and to really hear them share such wonderful wisdom, and we can all apply it to our own lives and be inspired by it.
You know, we're going to have to, as soon as your schedule permits, we're going to have to just have a conversation about your book. And we talked about a lot of stuff today, but we're going to talk about Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from the Legends of Golf by Anne Liguori with a foreword by Jim Nance. Let's do that.
I would love that. You know, there's
excellent.
So much to say.
Yes.
Look, you can order it on Amazon, and it's just such a great manual for life.
Yes.
Shared so beautifully by these 12 legends.
Awesome. Anne Liguori, thank you so much for being on the show today. Award-winning sports journalist, nationally renowned sports radio and TV host, author, Life on the Green, Legends and Wisdom from the Legends of Golf, and she'll be back with us to talk about some of the other lessons. You know, he's human. We're human. We're all human. So having fear is normal. Thank you very much, Anne.
Danielle, always a pleasure. You are a true gem,
and I'm
honored to be on your show. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. All right, we're going to come back. Diana DeLucia with us next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun? Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Hey, Hawaii, it's our rainy day riding mower sale. Appropriate, right? Rainy day riding mower sale at Aloha Power Equipment. Whether you're a homeowner, a landscaper, or a golf course superintendent, we've got the riding mowers waiting here for you. And don't forget the accessories from mowing to mulching and bagging. We make yard work easy. Mow it, auto bag it, and done. Remember, it is still fire season and will be forever fire season given how hot the sun is now. Protect your assets with the best tools around. If you live on a neighbor island, no worries. We ship off island just for you. New shipments roll in daily. It's Aloha Power's Rainy Day Riding Mower Sale in Iwilei next to the Costco gas station and Waipahu. Tell them Danielle sent you.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Here's the local rules sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Diana DeLucia, CEO, founder, editor, writer, photographer, Golf Kitchen magazine, and books. And boy, is this one. This one's absolutely fantastic. Diana, welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha, Danielle. Great to hear your voice again.
Oh, it's good to hear yours. And I was looking through your magazine. It's just incredible. I'm looking at, well, the wine and golf podcast combo. Does it get any better? And then I was going through some of the recipes. And the recipes, I mean, it tells you exactly what you need, how to make this beautiful pan-seared Hokkaido scallops. And then there's a crispy cod cheeks. And then there's one recipe for something that, you know, it looks like pudding. And I'm a vegetarian, so, you know, it's meat, like pork osso buco with crispy kale, shallots and carrots and white corn grits and apple mostarda and vincotto. I don't even know what some of these things are, but you have put together some of those beautiful photographs. You are an incredible photographer, Diana.
Well, thank you. I like to think that years of experience have, like, you know, rubbed off.
Most definitely. This is absolutely spectacular, just looking at everything. So you have put together a team. Do you remember when you first started? I remember when you first started. It was, you know, all by yourself, grinding it out, worrying about everything, having to get everything taken care of. And now you have a team of people that will be working with you, taking some of the stress off of you, I imagine.
Yeah, it's really good to introduce some new young and hip writers. And,
cool.
To bring some more variety to the publication.
Yeah, and so Hannah Flora, executive sous chef at Addison Reserve. I've been trying to get Hannah on the show, but see, she's so busy, and now she's going to be even busier, but I'm going to get her to come and talk.
she'll make it there at some point. She just has to have that time free in her schedule.
Oh, I know. It's hard for midday because she's the executive sous chef. Javier Burgos, veggie cocktail tutorials. Hey.
Yes, Javier was actually in our very first magazine, and he was actually the mixologist at Addison Reserve, and that was like 8 years ago this coming spring. And Javier, he's come a long way in the mixology world, and he's teaming up, and his first column, he's taking over the Clubhouse cocktails, and I can't say what ingredients he's using, but it will be very educational and very luxurious, and it'll be a combo of both alcoholic cocktails and non-alcoholic cocktails.
It's wonderful.
And they'll all be very healthy.
Yes, and it's veggie. That's wonderful, mixing veggie with, you know, a little alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anita Drycott, did I pronounce her name right?
Yes, and Anita is a Canadian travel, golf, and food writer from Canada, but I think she's down in Mexico at the moment, but she will be doing some travel and stories from the UK and on her travels, and I'm looking forward to having her first feature with Bravo Whiskey Golf from the UK run in this next edition.
Bravo Whiskey Golf.
Yes, that's it's a company that has luxury golf trips in all involved with whiskey, golf, and food.
Oh, it sounds like a lot of fun for a holiday. That's fantastic. And then let's see now. On your cover, and you know, I always worry because you have such. Is that Matthew Gilbert, the culinary director at Medina?
Yes, Matthew is going to be a great cover story. We've already produced it. One of the key things about Matthew is that he discovered food, his love of food, through music.
Oh, wow.
And he discusses how the notes are the ingredients.
Wow.
The songs are the dishes. And the menus are the albums. And I just thought that was just wonderful.
That's fascinating. Yes, and he's right. I see him on the cover. I like how you've done the cover because it's black and white.
Oh no, that's the current edition. Matthew's going to be on the cover of the spring edition.
Oh, sorry. Who's on the cover here? Oh, this is Adam. That's
Adam Gordon from
New York to
Marine
Aspen.
Creek Club in Aspen, Colorado.
Wow. Okay, I got confused. So many wonderful people are in your world. Talk about the spring April edition coming up, and I just you know, I've gotten this one, and I feel like I've just been given a huge gift in looking at all the things that you put together. Your team is fabulous. When I say your team, how many people work with you on this magazine?
Well, that particular magazine, it was still me with the clubs. That I'm working with the clubs back and forth. Sometimes Karen Morgan from Hunter PR, she helps me out a lot. She's a great editor, and she has great connections as well. But this next spring edition, bringing in three new writers, is going to bring some variety and take the pressure off me somewhat so I can get our other initiatives off the ground.
Yeah, okay. See, so what I'm trying to say here is that Diana DeLucia can do all of this. And that, you know, you've got plenty in here that makes us feel like a gazillion people were working on this magazine. And that you had a huge team working on this magazine. And it is Diana, with the help of Karen at times, to edit. you're pretty incredible. I hope you know that.
Well, I can't do it without the support of the golf clubs that, you know, that are in the magazine.
Yeah.
And I'm really thankful that more and more of them are getting involved.
Yeah. Let's see now. The Met Club Foundation. Tell us about the event they're holding.
Okay, that event has been going for decades.
Wow.
Every year they do this event and they raise money for the Metropolitan Club Foundation. And I think in the vendors looking at entering the golf market, it is the absolute best event in the entire country. It's 600 golf industry decision makers under one roof.
Wow.
For one day. So if you're a vendor and you sign up for a booth, you're going to save yourself a lot of driving around because they're all under one roof.
That's March 18th this year?
Yes, yeah. It's an absolute, and I've got people from the UK flying over for that, the Ferguson Whiskey and Bravo Whiskey Golf. They'll be coming over. My friends from K-Arm Specialty Foods, Chef Warehouse will be there. A bunch of golf people like GGA Partners. I could go on, but it's the best event if you're a vendor and you're looking to meet the decision makers in the private club industry.
That's fantastic. And where is it being held?
It's being held at the Glen Island Harbor Club in New Rochelle. Absolutely beautiful venue.
Wow, it sounds beautiful. I was also looking at one of the golf course photos by Evan Schiller. He's also, I mean, look at the way the trees are in the lake, the pond, and the mountains in the background. It's the 15th, I think it is, or the 16th hole at Maroon Creek Club.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think he was there a few weeks before I was there.
Wow.
They're brand new photos.
Yeah, it's spectacular. It just really brings you, just, you know, you want to go play golf. Hello?
except when you go there, you be forewarned, because if you've never been at that altitude, you're going to get a big shock.
Yeah, so in other words, does the ball go farther?
No. When I arrived, I wasn't expecting to feel like I can't breathe.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
So apparently when you're at that altitude, you need to have a couple of days to kind of acclimatize.
Yeah,
It's the weirdest feeling I've ever had, I think.
Yeah, I bet. Why am I not getting oxygen? Because it's thin air up here. And Netflix. It's Netflix, Fort Monmouth approved. Tell me about this. I'm kind of confused.
Okay, so in December of 2024, the governor of New Jersey and the town planning and all of that announced that they have approved Netflix Studios, Fort Monmouth, and that will be the new headquarters, northeast headquarters for Netflix Studios. And I think they start building at the end of the year. They got all the permits, I believe. But that's going to turn the tri-state area into the Hollywood of the Northeast, which is pretty exciting. And in my opinion, I think golf clubs need to start preparing for that ahead of time, because you can imagine how many producers, directors, staff, film industry people are going to be moving to the area, and they're going to want clubs to join.
Yes. They'll want to join clubs, and they'll want to eat the food that I'm, you know, not don't eat, but love the photos of. The one that looks like pudding, it's fish. I think I might try that. Wonderful. Oh, my goodness. Your world is so fabulous. I would like to travel with you, you know, for a month and just...
Oh, I would love that. Let's get a sponsor, guys.
We'd have such a good time. I could do the show from wherever we are. That would be fantastic.
Well, we could do a vegan story.
A vegan story. There you go.
And we'll get the chef to make vegan recipes.
A section. Diana DeLucia, you are fantastic. You're an amazing and persevering person. When you've got a dream, never give up. And, you know, just take Diana as an example of someone who's managed to get right on through. It doesn't come easy, but when it comes, it's fantastic. Diana DeLucia, editor, photographer, CEO, and founder, The Golf Kitchen. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse.
Thank you. Aloha, Danielle.
Aloha, Diana. We're going to come back, and yes, we're going to talk about Aimpoint. Claude Brousseau doesn't want people to stop using Aimpoint. He just doesn't want them to go so slow. You know, it's meant to be to keep the pace up. All right, we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Eva side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy at Wailea Golf Club on Maui. Welcome into the clubhouse, Claude.
Good morning, Danielle. And first and foremost, I want to say happy Women's Day to all your listeners. And that's a big part of the life of people. So happy Women's Day.
I didn't even know it was Women's Day. Is today Women's Day? Women's Day.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's International Women's Day. All of us around the world are celebrating today. This is awesome. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that to the table. It's fantastic. Your accolades, I mean, Golf Digest Best Teachers in our state, your state, 2015, I mean, 2016, the Horton Smith Award, and then it just, you're every year ranked number one teacher in the state of Hawaii by Golf Digest, list of best teachers 2024, 2025, third time in a row, 2022, 2023, best in every state, second time in a row, also number one, 2019, 2020. Now, we were talking about aim point, and one of the things is, you know, guys who are using aim point on the tour seem to be taking more time with aimpoint. Isn't aimpoint designed to be something that helps pick up the pace of play?
Yes, it is, Danielle. And then again, was interesting. I reached out to Mark Sweeney, who invented that. And every time people say aimpoint takes more time, he gave me in the last 11 years, every time somebody bring that up, he says, okay, show me, or give me the number that people who use endpoint that takes more time. Said I had nobody showing me a number in the last 11 years.
So the perception
is that, but it's not. So we talked last week about it, and then some of your listeners wanted to know more how endpoint works.
Yes.
I will go rapidly. It takes about an hour and a half to learn it. I will give you a wrap up in 90 seconds.
We don't need 90 seconds. But you do have quick tips to
using your eyes. You use your body to feel how severe is the tilt or the inclination or the slanted green in between the ball and the hole. Because when you putt, that's the only place you are interested to gather information, is in between the ball and the hole. Then with the body, your feet, you feel, is it, how severe is that incline? Let's say if it's a 1% incline, you won't be able to see that with your eyes, but you will feel it with your body. If it's a 2%, the golfer will use two fingers to decide. One of the fingers will go in the middle of the hole, and the other one will tell you your aiming point, where your starting line, if you want. Let's say 3 inches outside of the hole. Now, just getting you listener this over the radio like this, I'd suggest not trying it by yourself. You need to be trained by a certified instructor.
Yes.
And then that's it. That's how long it takes. You You straddle the ball, facing where you think the ball will go, and then you walk halfway, let's say, between the ball and the hole. And at that place, quickly, your body wants to keep you in balance, so it will feel which way the green is inclined.
Okay.
Then with a little bit of practice, you will know how severe that is, let's say 3%. So they will use three fingers. And then you place your finger in a fashion that one is in the middle of the hole and the other one is giving you where you go. Then that's your aiming point. You start the ball on that line with the correct speed. Then the ball curves and go in the hole. It's that simple.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess, you know, what was making people uneasy or angry, some of the guys were literally using their feet and right around the hole, so, you know, getting really close, and it seems like they should be just staying back where their ball is to sense the curve or the angle.
No, not really, Daniel, because what people need to understand, what controlled the breaks. It's not the beginning of the putt. It's not the end of the putt. It's roughly halfway in between the ball and the hole, maybe one step closer. So the golfer doesn't necessarily go really, really close to the hole.
Yeah.
It's rare that they will go more than, let's say, as an average, maybe 3 feet from the hole.
Wow.
Because it's rare on short putt. Obviously, the break can change close to the hole, so they go a little bit closer. But the golfer that use aim point, Danielle, they are respectful of other people. And then when people say, oh, he walk on this line, but unless you're putting, you don't know what the line is of the other players. So it's I think everybody use, and we stress that when we teach aim point and coach aim point, we tell them, you know, make sure you respect the surrounding of the hole and all that. So
right on. So yeah, that's the bottom line is, you know, maybe the guys that do what they're doing, you know, there's ways to tell them to stop, or if they don't stop, then there's fines that are levied against
them.
But they're not levying those fines, so they just keep doing what they're doing. Yeah, I think that's a big problem. Yeah. So
because also, Daniel, aim point is very, very efficient for every level of player. They make more putts, meaning they know where to aim. They just need to focus on their speed, and the statistics prove it that if you use aim point, you become a better putter. It's that simple.
Excellent. So quick tips to playing better. The slicers tee up on the right side of the tee box?
Yes. You see, that's counterintuitive, isn't it? So basically, if you're a slicer of the ball, if you tee up your ball on the right side of the tee box, it's an angle thing. So the ball can curve and it opens the fairway to you. If you tee up on the left side of the slicer, the out of bound right comes faster. So, yeah, if you're a slicer, tee up on the right side of the tee box.
That's a great tip. Another, want more distance? Exhale just before swinging.
Yes, Daniel, because the athlete muscles work better and faster if you're more relaxed. So, again, golf is a counterintuitive game. Most of the golfers that we see, they strangle the club, and then you deep pop the vein out, and you say, oh, my God, are they moving 200 pounds or 2 ounces here? So if you want the ball to go farther, then, yeah, your muscle needs to be more relaxed because they move faster. So if you exhale, that's the fastest way to relax your muscle.
Excellent. So when windy, and by the way, it's going to be windy. It's going to be up to 30 miles an hour. Most of the wind will be on Sunday and Tuesday. So just if you're going to play those, when windy, follow through low. This is the advice from Claude Brousseau, the PGA professional. I am master PGA professional. I'm speaking with. When windy, follow through low. What do you mean?
What I mean by that is that to keep a ball low, a trajectory lower, the simplest way to do it is you will rehearse a practice swing and you follow through, Danielle, on the target side of the ball. You want your hands just be at the height of your hips on the follow through. So you don't follow through all the way up. It's kind of feeling kind of a low punch with your hands finishing hip high with your driver. If you're on the tee box, let's say, or with your irons, that will be the same idea. If you follow through low, the ball goes lower.
Fantastic. You know, we're going to, there's so many of these wonderful tips that Claude has. You're going to have to be on the show, I don't know, maybe next week or the week after, depending on your schedule, so that we can go over this. You always give me such great notes. This is all from Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, golf instructor, V1 Sport Coach Ambassador, and talent contributor, Sports Illustrated talent contributor, Sportsbax AI certified, FlightScope certified professional, Aimpoint Level 3 certified instructor, and Vision 54 authorized coach. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse.
Thank you, Danielle. It's always a pleasure to share my passion with your listener. Aloha.
Aloha. We're coming back. Bob Geddes, former president of the Golf Heritage Society, is with us, the keepers of the legacy and tradition of the game. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Bob Geddes, former president of the Golf Heritage Society, the keepers of the legacy and tradition of the game. Their magazine is The Golf. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bob.
Danielle, it's a pleasure to be in the clubhouse with you once again.
It's wonderful. You're having a convention?
Well, we will. In Nashville later this year, we'll have our national convention, Danielle. It'll be October 14th to the 17th.
Fantastic.
So that's where we'll all get together and talk about the history of golf. We'll have a trade show. We'll have a guest speaker. So it's a really something special that we're planning.
Now, why 1970, the Golf Collector Society was founded. Why did they want to do this?
Well, I think if I can just take a moment or two to just give you a little history of
came
about.
Yes.
And I just think it's maybe an important reference for your listeners that the game of golf that we know as today actually started all the way back in 1457. That's when we know it was at least that long ago, because King James II came out with a proclamation that he didn't want the people of Scotland to be playing golf. He wanted them to practice archery so that they could defend the kingdom.
Oh.
So we actually know then that golf was being played at least by then, and probably earlier in 1400s. So it does go back a long time, and the course that we point to as more of a mecca for golf, St. Andrews in Scotland, that was really back in the 1800s, really, when that all started to form as a club and play organized events. And then about 100 years later, as you mentioned, in 1970, the Golf Collectors Society was formed, which is now known as the Golf Heritage Society. And that was to, again, carry on the history. We have many members that collect golf memorabilia, but we have artists and writers, golf professionals, active golfers that are all members of the club.
How does one become a member?
Well, we have, of course, our website, and that would be golfheritage.org, would be the best way to take a look at our website. And there are several spots where you can click to look at the various membership options that we have.
Great. And your mission?
Well, we're really trying to maintain the history of the sport and to really respond to a trend for people to want to know more about the game that they love. Many of our members, as I mentioned, do write about golf or collect golf memorabilia. And it's not just old products that they collect. We have a group we consider the modern collectors that are collecting things like Scotty Cameron putters, Tiger Woods memorabilia, things like autographs and scorecards. Many people will collect a golf ball that they can get from the clubhouse of a golf course that they've played for the first time. So
right.
That's fairly popular as well. You know, I was reminded, I was listening to your program, Danielle, last week, and you had a gentleman, I think his name was Mike Johnson, talking
yes.
about some of the changes in the golf ball that we're going to see happen.
Yes.
Well, one of the things after the last time I was on, I sent you a little souvenir of a golf ball.
Yes. Yes.
And that's that was a wrapped golf ball. It was a Maxfli Dunlop, which most people are familiar with the Dunlop name and Maxfli. But it was a ball actually from probably the 50s or the 60s. And it had a black Saran wrap on it, very
yes.
shiny, to protect it, but also to market the ball. And really, that was a common thing for golf ball companies to do. They would wrap them to protect them from light, but also to make it look like a special item. Each ball was individually wrapped with a sticker to hold that wrapping on.
It was so strange. Imagine you get something in the mail in a little box. You open it up, and it's a black golf ball? I'm like, what? This is, I don't know what to do with this. Do I play with this? Do they play, did they play with the wrap around it, or do you take the wrap off?
You would take a wrap off,
okay.
And then you'd be on your way. But the reason I wanted to mention that partly, Danielle, was the person spoke about those changes
yes.
in the size of the golf ball that are going to take place. And really, that's not the first time that that happened. Actually, going back a little bit for a moment, when the Royal and Ancient and the USGA got together, of course, these were the governing and are the governing groups that look at the rules of golf. They finally came together in 1952 and started using a uniform set of rules. But one of the things that was left behind at that time was the size of the golf ball. In Britain and other parts of the world, the size of the ball was 1.62 inches. And in the U.S., we were using a larger ball at 1.68. So that caused a couple of things. When people went from the U.S. to Britain to play the Open and other tournaments there, they could use a smaller ball. And the smaller ball would go further, and that was, a big reason that that would be chosen.
Yeah.
But finally, in 1974, the Royal and Ancient decided to move to the larger ball, and so people started to use the larger ball from the U.S. to play in the Open in Scotland or in England. So that finally settled itself, and in 1990, throughout the world, you were using this 1.68-inch diameter ball, which we use today. And that kind of happened before what's going on now with the changes to the rules to come.
Wow. I was thinking, why would they go with something that doesn't go as far? Why wouldn't everybody go to the 1.62? Because, you know, you get the little extra distance. Do you know why they went with a larger ball that didn't go as far?
Well, it's a good point. And one of the reasons, of course, they're standardizing or changing the size now is that the smaller ball would go much further. And I think in Britain and Scotland, they were seeing that as an issue. One of the things, though, if you go too small, actually, it was pointed out to me that the ball does not putt as well. And if you can sort of think about what it would be like to putt with something like a marble on a green.
You brought it right home there.
Yeah, exactly. So conversely, if you had something like a bowling ball that you were putting with, it wouldn't vary at all on the greens because of its size. So somewhere in the middle there, they settled on this 1.68. And that's what we've been using since that time. But it is interesting to see how the new changes will come about and how that'll affect the play for us.
Yes, you just made a whole bunch of superintendents very nervous when you said bowling ball and green in the same sentence. Yes.
Yeah, that would be a pretty tough one to maintain for sure.
Help. What would it do to the green? I mean, that's what they care about. You know, don't mess with my green. I've been working on it for, years, and I finally like it. And by the way, it is Mike Johnson and Golf Digest equipment editor. So he's always right in the center of these sorts of things. And it's fascinating. You know, the fact that in 1457, King James II told people to stop playing golf and start learning archery. You know, what's wrong with you people? But then again, if they had learned to use that golf club to make that golf ball become a weapon, yes.
For some people out on the course today, it can still be a weapon, I think.
Yes.
Some of those tee shots.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You got to be real careful. Four, that's why you say that, you see, so people don't get hurt. This is fantastic. So your mission is promote an appreciation for golf's history and traditions, foster friendship among golf enthusiasts, serve as a resource for golf historians, collectors, researchers, writers, and hickory golfers. Okay, so that's where we're going to start, right? Wrap this one up. Hickory golfers? For those of us who don't know.
That's what we do as part of our national event. And we also have regional events, Danielle, through the year for people who want to have an appreciation of what it was like to play golf prior to 1930, we give them an opportunity to use hickory shaft clubs if they don't have theirs already. There's always loaner clubs that we would have at these events. And so it gives you a real appreciation of what those players were faced with. But it's a lot of fun. When you get a good shot off, it gives you a lot of good feeling from that swing.
Yeah, I'd be dancing.
No, I'm sure you'd get the hang of it. I'm sure you have the game that would be able to handle the hickory shafts.
Oh, well, thank you so much. So the Golf Heritage Society. Why did you go from historical to heritage, by the way?
Well, I think over time we realized that it was time for a bit of a rebranding. Many of our members, as I said, are interested more history than collecting.
Okay.
But and playing the game. So we address that, and we have a nice healthy mix of collectors and, as you mentioned, the other type of players and architects, course superintendents and authors. So it's a good mix. We try to have people think of discovering the GHS. And as I mentioned, our website is golfheritage.org. There's all types of information there for the person who wants to visit the site about our upcoming event and also becoming a member.
Yeah, and being a member, you get access to The Golf, that's a quarterly magazine, invitations to regional events and the annual national convention, online access to archives of past issues of The Bulletin, invitations to live Zoom presentations by notable individuals in golf, an online receipt of the GHS Gazette and the Newswire. Very cool.
That's correct. Yes.
Bob Geddes, former president of the Golf Heritage Society, the keepers of the legacy and tradition of the game. Thank you so much. You're going to have to come back so that we can talk more about the convention and how we, you know, get to the convention, what we need to do to sign up to be there. Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha. We're coming back with Kevin Robofsky, KMR Golf Academy, Kaneohe, Hawaii. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PJ and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me?
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
KORL, Waianae, Honolulu. Aloha Powers, the rainy day. Riding mower sale is happening right now. Yep, that's right. At Aloha Power Equipment, of course, it's the rainy day riding mower sale. Appropriate since we're going to have some rainy days. Whether you're a homeowner, a landscaper of a golf course, or, you know, you've got this huge acreage that you've got to take care of, we've got the riding mowers waiting here for you. And don't forget the accessories. From mowing to mulching to bagging, we make yard work easy. So you mow it, you auto-bag it. Just think, it'll do it for you. And you're done. Remember, it's still fire season. It will be. You know, I mean, we've got this hot sun. Protect your assets with the best tools around. If you live on a neighbor island, no worries. We ship off island just for you. New shipments rolling in daily. And it's Aloha Power's rainy day riding mower sale in Iwile, next to Costco's gas station, and in Waipahu.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Eva side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Kevin Robofsky, KMR Golf Academy in Kaneohe. It is the Kevin M. Robofsky School of Golf. Welcome into the clubhouse, Kevin.
Thank you, Danielle. Appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. You're welcome back anytime. Lessons, practice, play, and yoga. Now, A, does yoga help you with your golf?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. The parallels to playing better golf and having a yoga practice. I mean, the obvious is flexibility, but also the breathing component, you know, to be able to manage your breath in nervous situations. Yeah, it's really important in golf, obviously, and yeah, yoga is very much about that.
You know, I don't think it's obvious to a lot of people, because a lot of people don't think about breathing. It's just something they do. But then they don't realize that when things get, you know, tricky, wherever, golf course, of course, and when you're about to try to do something you're not sure you can do, you actually stop breathing.
Yeah.
Which isn't really good. You're right. It's not good for the muscles, yeah?
Yeah. And you know, even in my lessons, we usually touch upon it to some degree, is that being aware of your breathing, and also there are also breathing techniques. In yoga, we call it pranayama. But many, many professional golfers on tour are actually using breathing coaches. It's kind of this secret that isn't you know, well known amongst the golfing public, but definitely, you know, knowing how to breathe and then learning different breathing techniques to really help you with nervousness and to help you with concentration and to manage negativity. Yeah, there's so many benefits to a breathing practice.
Wow, that is very good to know, because, I mean, not only do our muscles need oxygen, our brain needs oxygen, and if you get nervous and you shallow breathe or stop breathing altogether, a lot of people do, you know, that it just cuts everything off and you mess up even worse. So, Where is the school?
So we're at Ko'olau Golf Course. Ko'olau closed to the public in 2020 during the pandemic, and First Presbyterian Church, who is the owner of Ko'olau, they offered me the opportunity to stay here, keep my golf school at the range, and we basically have the opportunity to use the golf course as a practice course for my students.
That's great. I mean, you've got the course open, and there's not, you can go at any time you want.
Yeah. So I decided to keep the front nine open. Obviously, Ko'olau and having a golf course to maintain is a huge financial expense.
Yes.
So, you know, I do, and I really like the front nine. I think it's drier, it's more playable, and so yeah, it's something that I thought we could gradually improve over time, and it has. So it's been really a great labor of love, and it's so special to keep Ko'olau alive.
Yeah, I'm glad. You know, all of this is news to me, so this is fantastic. And I have this list here. You know, you have an all-grass range. What's good about that?
Yeah, I mean, this is another really important aspect about developing your game. I think that you need to have turf interaction to get a real sense of impact. Basically, when you're hitting a ball off the ground, you want to hit it on a descending angle of attack, so hitting down slightly, you know, and that depends on the length of the club as well. But you don't get that off a mat. So hitting off a mat, your low point of your swing could be behind the ball, and the club just slides into the ball, and it gives the golfer a false, you know, sort of impression of how they're hitting it.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, hitting off the turf is going to really give you the feeling of a proper strike.
Excellent. And chipping greens.
Yes, we have two of them. We have two of them, and we have one, but actually both of them you can use for putting or chipping or pitching. And then we have a bunker. So bunker practice obviously is huge. I mean, we need that. Golfers need to be able to get the ball out in one shot. So that's important. We have three practice decks, and then we have two teaching decks, and then we have an indoor studio as well. So if it rains or if you want to practice putting, we have a indoor putting green. And we have hitting bays inside, too. So, yeah, we've got a little bit of everything.
Yeah. It's like you're, you know, a mystery. I didn't know all this stuff existed, you know, at KMR Golf Academy. This is fantastic. Now, you know, do you really need to hit down on the ball when you're coming out of a bunker?
Well, So we have a fairway bunker, and then you have the, obviously, greenside bunker. So
uh-huh.
Greenside bunker, I mean, you want to hit slightly behind the ball, and then, obviously, the bounce of the club slides it you know, under and through the sand. Mm-hmm. So the entry point is really important, you know, hitting an inch or 2 inches behind the ball and then letting the bounce slide it through. You know, there's a lot of technique to bunker. Nowadays, the wedges are getting better, so it's making it a little easier, but oftentimes, you know, the sand trap can make or break a round, right? Just not being able to get it out in one shot or hitting it over the green into more trouble. It's just like that, your round is ruined.
Yes, or just getting almost to it and then it rolls back at you.
Yeah, it'll drive you crazy sometimes.
I think we're giving people nightmares. We should probably leave the bunker. And yeah. You have TrackMan.
Yeah, we have launch monitors. I like to use it sparingly. I think that gives people some indication of their launch conditions. A lot of people get carried away with club head speed and, you know, trying to chase more speed, which kind of makes their swing get even more erratic. So I like to get more out of people's golf swing and speed. And not try to increase the speed so much. You know, we do that a lot by with technique. But if a golfer is slicing across the ball, it's nice to see the numbers. It helps convince the golfer that they need to change, that their swing path is going left every swing and their club face is open to the right. You know, it's hard to argue against the numbers. So it just gives me more reinforcement as a coach
That's very smart of you. Very smart. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it's good. It's good to do it once in a while.
Yeah. That's really important because we can't feel that. I mean, I shouldn't say we. I'm sure Tiger Woods can feel that. But, you know, those of us who don't, aren't really good, we're good, but not really good. Some of these things we just can't feel. And you need to be able to see it to believe it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that's another nice aspect about grass driving ranges is you can actually see your divot and then you can analyze your divot. So obviously if you have a slice swing, you're going to see the divot go way to the left. And so, yeah, I mean, that just helps, you know, with the evidence and helps the golfer recognize, you know, some of their flaws and, you know, maybe correct them.
You know, this is something I have personally, and I'm sure I'm not the only person who I always feel like I'm, you know, hurting divots. I don't want to make divots. It hurts the ground.
Yeah, we hear this a lot. I mean, the grass grows surprisingly fast, especially when you fill the divots with sand. So we go through a lot of sand. It grows very fast. And, you know, a lot of times people, they, you know, like you said, they're resistant to hit the grass because they feel bad, or they feel like the grass or the ground is going to jar them.
Yeah.
But really, when you hit the ball first and hit the ground second, hit the dirt second, then it is a real pleasurable feeling. It feels like hitting a pillow.
Right? Wow.
So it's a really nice, pleasurable thump, and I try to get people to feel that thump as opposed to like a swish or a click.
Uh-huh.
I try to, you know, because that's very close to thinning the ball. And then, you know, as a coach, I see people hitting a lot of grounders, especially when I take them on the course for a course lesson. Uh-huh. You know, I want to get them away from hitting those grounders.
Yeah, define grounders.
You know, it's hitting the middle of the ball with the leading edge of the club, like with an iron, or hitting the top of the ball.
Ouch.
So the ball doesn't get up in the air.
Yes.
So it just rolls on the ground. It's not very satisfying to play that way.
No, no, no. That's like, oh my gosh, I can't even make it fly. Yeah.
And then people try to help it up in the air.
Oh,
right?
Gosh,
so
yes.
It's counterintuitive to trying to lift the ball up.
Let the club do that. That's why it has that face.
Yeah, the loft does it for you.
Yes. Now, you also, Cobra Golf and Ping Golf are in your kind of repertoire here that I've been going through.
Yeah, they support us, and we have a lot of Ping and demo products for people to try. So that's always another, that's a part of the lesson process as well.
Wow.
If someone comes for a lesson and they're, you know, a bogey golfer and they have, you know, blades as irons, especially from 1980, you know, I'd like to get them into a modern club, right? Get the, you know, get up to date and make it easier.
But,
so, that helps too.
I'm glad you said that because a lot of people are like, yeah, but I really play well with this club. I'm used to this club. This is a club I've, you know, we're friends at this point. But you can make the, you know, you have to give up sometimes. You know, or put your friend on the side for just a while and see what that other thing can do for you.
Yeah, I think you have to be open-minded and explore, you know, technology especially.
Yeah.
Going into graphite shafts with irons and, you know, little more forgiveness in the head. It's just amazing, you know, and then the club will speak for itself when you try it. And if you hit the ball further and more consistent and more pleasurable, usually the clubs sell themselves.
Yeah.
If you have the older clubs, and you get into the 5, 4, and 3 iron, yeah, good luck. I mean, it's a battle. So, yeah, get into some hybrids, right? Some higher lofted hybrids and make the game easy.
Yeah, I like it. So how do we... Okay, it says, book a lesson instantly with Kevin at my.pga.com.
Yeah, so PGA.com is a great system for me because we can do all the lessons online. You can pay, you can book, you can sign up and change the lesson, cancel. Everything is done very conveniently online. We don't have to go back and forth through text messages or phone calls or things like that.
Right.
So that's on PGA.com or mypga.com.
Okay.
Either one will work.
Okay.
And then you just look up me as a coach, and then you find my profile, and you make your own profile, and off you go. We offer the golf yoga classes every 2 weeks, and that's open to anybody, open to the public. And then I do workshops as well. I've got a short game workshop coming up at the end of the month, so that's also open to the public. And that's different, too, because we do the short game workshop on the golf course.
Oh,
so
fun.
In a real life scenario, not on a chipping green. So, you know, chipping greens are rarely similar to the golf course. So it's nice to get that real life experience.
Wow. Kevin, and he spells his name RALBOVSKY. So when you're looking him up on PGA.com or my.pga.com, you'll be able to find Kevin at KMR Golf Academy in Kaneohe. I want to go. I want to go.
Come on over.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Open invitation.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for being inside the clubhouse, and we'll have to do this again.
Yes, definitely. Thanks,
awesome.
Danielle.
Thank you very much. I want to thank the people who make this show possible, because without them, you know, we wouldn't be here. We want to thank the Aloha Power equipment folks. And you know, there is the rainy day riding mower sale going on now because we've got rain coming. It's supposed to be more of it on Sunday than today. And then on Tuesday, we're also going to have a rain and wind. And the wind is supposed to blow to 30 miles per hour. So if you're going to go play around a golf, you got to kind of go under the wind. I should have asked Kevin about that. All right. So it's Aloha Power's rainy day riding mower sale. We have specials in every size. Whack it, bag it, done. Riding mowers, from the landscaper to the homeowner. You know, it's the little guys or the big guys. You want them? We got them today. Get yours at Aloha Power Equipment. Open Monday through Saturday. They're only closed on Sunday. They're open Monday through Saturday at Iwile, next to the Costco gas station in Waipahu. Just across on Farrington Highway. I was just looking at the time and I'm running out. So you're going to have to look up the in Waipahu. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. For self, for health, for friendship. Go Golf. And the Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks and shopping centers and businesses and hotels since 1939. You know, they can't find you if there's no sign. And the more catchy the sign is, the more they'll notice you. All right. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.